I'm Dave Cawley, investigative journalist and host of the podcast, Cold. Don't miss Cold's new Season 3, where I look into the unsolved disappearance of Cherie Warren, a woman last seen leaving her job at a Salt Lake City office in 1985. Police cast suspicion on Cherie's estranged husband and boyfriend, but never made any arrests or recovered Cherie's remains. Find Cold Season 3, The Search for Cherie, anywhere you get your podcasts.
What's going on here?
Resistance is futile.
This,
indeed you are, Paul,
is...
It's in my head, Paul!
Fan Effect.
Welcome to another episode of the Fan Effect Podcast, brought to you by our friends at the Megaplex Theaters, Utah's premier entertainment experience. And I'm so excited to be sharing our deep dive review into one of these new magical Disney experiences coming to the big screens near you this Thanksgiving. Encanto is the latest Disney animated gem, and I'm putting it out there right at the start of this podcast. It's just an amazing, warm, funny, family-friendly musical, and I just loved it. And joining me today is one of people I love as well. It's one of our favorite guests here. We have Natalie Molyneux from the Pop Knowledge blog. And she used to work with us, so I'm so excited to have her here. And are you excited to be joining us today?
Oh my gosh, it's been like 2 years since I've been back here. Mm-hmm. I always thought I'd come back, but then COVID happened, and so...
Yeah, we got her in studio.
I know, it's so exciting.
And I'm so glad too, because she was able to join me for the screening last week. And I'm excited for her insight as a mother, as a mother of two little youngins. She can really talk about family in this. It is Disney, so we're just gonna nerd out here. And I wish Andy was with us, but he wasn't able to join today, so it's just gonna be us two. I'll just go ahead and start, and we'll talk about the synopsis of the film, and we'll jump in. So this first segment is gonna be spoiler free, and my rule for spoiler free is if it's in the trailers, it's not a spoiler.
Yeah. We've all seen it.
Right, because it's Disney. We're all excited for this. So many teenagers can feel a little out of place as they figure themselves out in this world and like how they fit into it. But for 15-year-old Maribel, it's a little more complicated as she's the only member of her family without magical powers. The family Madrigal, which is also an awesome song in the film, is an extraordinary family with extraordinary powers living in an extraordinary house nestled into the mountains of Colombia. But when Maribel discovers that the magic that infuses their casita is in danger, she is the only one willing to take on the challenge of figuring out what is going on. On her journey that doesn't even take place far beyond her doorstep, she learns more about her family members, the Encanto that blesses them and their village, and importantly, she learns a lot more about herself. Like I said, straight from the start, ooh, I loved this one.
It was so good. I thought I was going into like a B-list Disney movie, not to downgrade Monsters Inc. University, like movies like that. That's just kind of there. Like, it has a good message, but it's like Disney just needed to put out another movie where this one actually has. It made me misty at some points because you can relate to so many things within that movie, and it is so touching. I loved this movie.
Same with me. I went in excited for it, but that's because I had researched it a little bit more. But I think there's something about this COVID reality and the 24-hour news cycle and just how miserable everything is right now.
Yeah.
I think a lot of people are going into different entertainment a little bit more critical than they normally would. But I just loved it. So Encanto, it comes out November 24th, so right before Thanksgiving. Mm-hmm. It's an hour and 39 minutes, so average length, and it's PG for some thematic elements and mild peril. So it's kind of the standard Disney family there. And it is computer animated, beautifully vibrant.
Very beautiful. I would compare it to Coco very much. Mm-hmm. Very colorful, very Latin. It's very beautiful.
Well, and that's the thing. So Coco was a lot more Mexican, Latina, Latin, what do you say, Latinx culture. And this one is Colombia, which was super interesting to me because I don't know as much about the culture of Colombia as I do Mexico, since I lived a lot of my life in Southern California. So it was really interesting to see those elements infused throughout the film. And it actually sent me on a tangent afterwards to go look at the history and symbolism of the different animals and stuff that we see within the film. So that was really, really cool to me.
Wonderful.
Mm-hmm. So I liked it. I would give it an A. I'd say go see it in the theaters because you want to see that big, beautiful, broad, color up there on the screen. I'd seen it early too because it's just magical and wonderful. But that's me as someone who, you know, I'm just the aunt. I don't have kids of my own. As a mother, did you like the film, and would you be willing to take your little tinies to go see it in the big theater?
Oh, definitely. This is actually a movie that we're planning on taking our three-year-old to. This will be her first in-theater movie.
Oh, exciting.
So as I was watching it, I was making sure, like, is this something she can sit through? Is it something that she couldn't sit through Disney on Ice. So mm-hmm. I have to make sure she can sit through this kind of film. But she loved Coco. She loved the music. And it's because of the colors and everything and the fast pace of that movie that really kept her engaged. And that's one thing I think as parents, as you go into this, your kids will get attracted to is the colors, mm-hmm. the speed, the music's all super catchy. Mm-hmm. And you as a parent are going to, you know, be better at understanding the symbolism within the movie, understanding the messages. It's a great all around family film. I really can't wait to take my little girl to go see it here in a few weeks.
Well, that's one thing wonderful about going to films like this is when you're younger, you kind of just enjoying the story and the ride of it. But as you get older, it deepens the meaning of it, which this film has a lot of just wonderful meaning to it. Even as they created it, they wanted to make sure it was really respectful of the Colombian and Latina culture. And so they had like an actual cultural crew and they were able to actually travel down to Colombia. They really worked on it to make sure it represented the variety of people in Colombia, of the culture, and a real strong roots into the family, which is so very important there, particularly as it is embedded in a lot of Catholic roots. And so family is super, super important. They all live in the same household. They're extended family. So you have you've seen the trailer, so you can see that it's the grandma in their magical household, and she has her kids that are there, and they have all these different magical powers. We've seen some of them in the trailers. There's the mother who heals. There's an aunt whose mood controls the weather. The sisters who are very strong. The sister that's perfect and has flowers. And then Maribel.
And the aunt that can super hear everything.
Yeah. Oh, the cousin. Yeah. Yeah. She was fantastic. And the performances were just beautiful. And the family was just so vibrant. And, you know, it's a real family. It's not happy at all times, you know?
It's not. And what I loved about this movie, too, is that, you know, unlike a lot of movies where there's conflict in it, mm-hmm. Maribel has two parents who are very supportive of her.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. And, you know, we'll talk more about this yeah. later, but that, you know, she still has a strong family support around her, even though she's different from the rest of her family. Mm-hmm. And that's one thing I also did like about this movie is that she wasn't alone necessarily. Mm-hmm. She just knew she was different.
Right. And I liked it too. I think it's going to really speak to a lot of teenagers and people who feel a little bit of outsiders out there because they're grappling with feeling that wonderful love for the family, but also feeling a little bit outside at the same time. And she doesn't let that kind of stop and slam the door or anything like that between her and her family, but she continues to try to press forward and to face the journey that she's on and to learn more about her family, which is important too because a lot of the family are just kind of happy and set in their ways because they feel gifted and sometimes it takes someone who's a little bit outside to see the shakiness of a foundation, sometimes literally.
Yeah. You'll see as we talk further.
So, but it really is beautiful. It has this very strong family message to it. I really think a message that's going to be great. Like, I almost wish it was coming out the week before Thanksgiving, even though I know that's a big week.
Yeah.
Because I want people to see it before their Thanksgiving dinners to be able to gain this message of family togetherness, no matter your differences or anything like that.
Yeah,
like, we'll talk more.
There's mm-hmm. sorry. There's like always a little bit of a part of me that wishes it was going to be released on Disney Plus, so mm-hmm. more families could see it before the Thanksgiving holiday. Because mm-hmm. With COVID happening, with a lot of conflict happening within families right now, with mm-hmm. vaccinations and with politics and all that other stuff, it's definitely a movie that family should see.
And multiple parts of the generation, like the storyline of the grandmother would be great for grandparents to be able to hear, for parents to be able to hear,
yeah.
as well as the younger generation. So that is something that is a point there. And like, we understand why Disney's releasing it in the theaters. And is it the first big animated one? Because both Luca and Raya came out on Disney Plus.
Yeah. So this will be the first
and
animation. Yeah. Animated filming.
Yeah.
Only in theaters.
Wow. That's crazy. I think the last big animated one in theaters was like Frozen 2 or something. So
it was, because then yeah. they immediately put it on Disney Plus like 2 weeks later. I remember that.
That's right. Okay. Yeah. Well, and I think this film had a lot. It was very much in the vein of Frozen, kind of that family dynamic in it, and that creativity and the exploration of the different culture. Of course, two very different cultures.
Yeah. Disney and Pixar do a mm-hmm. marvelous job, honestly, with this kind of stuff. I mean, I'm not surprised that they nailed it again. So, mm-hmm.
So is there any drawbacks you might see non-spoiler-wise that might make it a little bit more difficult for people to see it or to understand the magic of it?
No. The only gripe I had with it, like I said, kids will like it because it's fast-moving and things like that. But I think as an adult, there were some parts of it. It jumped really fast to like mm-hmm. all these different parts, and it was very convenient. But mm-hmm. it's a Disney movie, so I can't complain.
You got to accept the reality. That's true. That sometimes you have to do that to get to the story.
It's a happily ever after.
Well, speaking of the speed of it, I love, love, love Lin-Manuel Miranda.
Oh, my gosh. Yes. I was so excited when I saw it was him. I was like, okay, music's already going to be good.
Well, and it was his story. He started pitching the idea in 2016 when they were working on Moana, and it slowly built its team up
awesome.
Throughout it. Yeah. So he actually was the original story creator of it. But it's his music in there, and he's written six unique new songs for this film. And what's really wonderful about that is if anyone knows Lin-Manuel Miranda, so, you know, Hamilton, In the Heights, any of those type of beautiful, beautiful shows that I just love, it's very, very fast.
It is. You have to explain a lot. There's a lot. It has a Latina feel to it, but there's a lot of hip-hop influence inside it.
Yes, hip-hop. There's a tango in there. It is awesome. So that's one thing you got to kind of prepare your ears for, is that faster dialogue.
Yeah.
Or just enjoy the visuals if that's something really hard for you. I didn't have a problem with it because I loved it. And oh my gosh, the way they do the musical scenes, like stunning, unique, wonderful. You know, he also did a lot of the music on Moana, of course. So you can kind of imagine some of that.
It's
spectacularness.
Very, it's a lot different. It's more like a dream sequence, I feel like, in Encanto versus Moana, where Moana's like, it kind of fit, except for, I guess, the You're Welcome song.
You're Welcome, yeah.
He says that song, like, it's very much, it goes off into, like, a different universe every time they sing a song, almost.
Which I loved. Well, you look at the roots of I Can't Wait to Be King was kind of like that, too.
That's true, yeah.
A little bit more music video-y, which I love how stories have progressed in the Disney universe, that it's gone from kind of these straightforward Snow White's the original one, a little bit slower, a little bit more traditional, to, like, these amazing, vibrant more modern ones and even modern jokes. And it's just fantastic. And it's meant for the older as well as the younger without being offensive or anything like that. So I really, really enjoyed that. So I think that's kind of the only drawback I would have is, you know, be ready to experience faster music.
Yeah.
And I'm so mad because the soundtrack doesn't come out until the day it opens. So, like, I was in the parking lot wanting to go listen again, and of course I couldn't.
It's very catchy music. I bet your kids that will have watched this movie, it'll be another Frozen song.
Yeah,
you'll listen to these songs for a long time.
Mm-hmm.
But I think you'll get into them too in the car, because they definitely have a more modern feel. So it's not, mm-hmm. It is musical. But it's something, if you're not into that genre, you'll be able to get into.
Definitely. It's that blend between Frozen and Hamilton.
Yeah. There you go.
So we really enjoyed it. Loved the music. Loved the characters. The performances were just amazing. And I was looking through IMDb, and a lot of them, I think basically all of them, Books Hope Allen, Tud, how do you say his last name?
Tudyk.
Of course, has a voice in Animore, too.
I know. He has to. He's like he's Disney's like new pet.
Everything. Which I'm grateful for, because it's Alan.
He's wonderful.
Right?
Did you know FanX, he actually brings like a bunch of junk and just signs it and gives it to people?
Oh my gosh.
Like, he just
fantastic.
Gets coffee mugs and like plastic cups.
See, he's one I would love to talk to.
Yeah, he's wonderful.
But like all the rest of them, like even the lead, the grandmother in it, she's actually a Colombian actress. She's known for television down there. She didn't do her singing voice. Her singing voice was actually Olga Meredez, who is the mother on the grandmother in the Heights. So like I'm like, that's her voice. But like, you're going to recognize people. John, I can never say his last name. Leguizam.
I'm just going to let you try to pronounce that.
We literally, in my household, we love him. We love Moulin Rouge. He was in last season's of Mandalorian. John, Not my lap.
John
Leguizamo. We just kind of fade off.
We're too white.
Well, I'm so white. That's what I'm all. I love the culture. I spent a good part of my life in Southern California and in Canada and places that were just surrounded by all these different diversity.
You're so lucky.
Oh, it was so wonderful. But like, yeah, so, but he's in it and he's the uncle and it's amazing. And I was surprised, like the lead in it, Maribel, who is that actress? She's the one in Brooklyn Nine-Nine.
Oh, yeah. She's the tough cop that never smiles. Well, she's
so
not.
So good.
You just do not expect
Stephanie
it,
Beatrice,
to be honest.
Right?
Yeah.
And, Maribel's just an adorable character. All right. Let's go ahead. Because you can see we're just dying to go deeper into this film. We're going to go ahead and take a break. And when we come back, we're going to go a little bit more into the production of it. And then our favorite part, we're going to go into the symbolism and messaging of it.
Oh, my
which
gosh.
Which I'm so excited about.
I can't wait.
I gushed my sister when I came home. And she's like, I haven't seen this. So you have.
I told it to my parents, so we're good.
I'm Dave Cawley, investigative journalist and host of the podcast, Cold. Don't miss Cold's new Season 3, where I look into the unsolved disappearance of Cherie Warren, a woman last seen leaving her job at a Salt Lake City office in 1985. Police cast suspicion on Cherie's estranged husband and boyfriend, but never made any arrests or recovered Cherie's remains. Find Cold Season 3, The Search for Cherie, anywhere you get your podcasts.
And we're talking Disney's Encanto. And now that we're out of the spoiler-free segment, so pause if you
want to go to it with no knowledge except for what we just told you.
Which is that it's amazing. Go see it.
Yeah.
Then we'll go ahead and move on to now. I don't even know where to start.
I think we can start with like a quick synopsis. So as we talked about, the family all has a gift.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah. That's great. That's great.
Yeah. So we learn that the grandmother obtained this miracle, as she calls it, after her husband died.
Yeah. In a tragic way, escaping like guerrilla warfare, having to flee their home with three very tiny, tiny triplets in one arm, which.
Yeah, so she came across a candle and that candle blessed her and gave her the magical.
The house, the house. The casita.
The casita. I was like, I need to think of the Spanish word for it.
Uh-huh.
Let's get into the symbolism, I guess, on that.
How even the fact that it's a candle, it's a light in the darkness, it might be small, but it's powerful. I got chills already.
I can see them.
Yeah. It might be small, but it's powerful. And how something tragic, as the father passes away, the grandfather passes away, can leave to this whole generation and even this whole town. Like, it was beautiful.
This one sacrifice brought out a whole family living in this beautiful house, and they all have these miracle gifts, and that's something I feel like got a little overshadowed, but people should not forget that part. And they keep the candle in view of everything. So as soon as you approach the house, you can see the candle in the back and it never shrinks. It stays light all the time and it only stays light if the family is all together.
Yeah, because at one point you have the magic starting to fade in there.
Yeah.
I love that as well. So like you see the candle from the courtyard, which is a lot of the family, which, man, I want a courtyard. and me being the Disney nerd that I am, of course, it reminded me of Walt's lamp light on Main Street Disneyland. Every time you go there, his candle is up there and you're remembering him. So I'm like, Grandpa Pedro is like Walt, blessing the place with magic and things like that. What's really cool is, so as each of the triplets came of age, they gained a magic power.
Yes.
And what was interesting with that is, so it's at the age of 8 is what I was guessing. It didn't really say, but it felt like around 8 years old. This magic door appears and they're able to go and open this door and like they gain some sort of magical gift with it. And it wasn't like the ordinary gifts you see.
It's not like a super. Well, yeah. I guess some of them kind of are superpowers you'd see from a superhero, but they're They're gifts that can bless other people.
Right?
That's the miracle of the gifts, as the grandmother calls it, is that we have these miracles and we need to share them with other people.
And not just other people within the family, but a whole community is developed around it and blessed by those gifts and is there to support them and things like that. And I loved it too. So you have the triplets, the original. You have the mother, Julieta, who is Maribel's mother, and she's able to heal with food. Wonderful symbolism there. Nurturing, kind, caring. Makes me want to learn how to cook some of the Colombian food they have.
Super good. Even though it was animated, it looked delicious.
I know, right? I had to go look up some of it. I have it on my list here somewhere. Then you have the sister, Peppa, who her mood is the weather.
That was a lot of fun to have. I love that. Like on her wedding day, we'll talk about that later too. But it goes from sunny to rainy. Mm-hmm. And can you imagine having that power though? That'd drive me nuts. Everyone would know how you're feeling.
Oh, I'd hate that. I already feel like I'm such an open book.
There are rain clouds in this room.
Oh no, we're gonna ruin everything. And then their brother Bruno, who sees the future. Which is a positive and a negative because people treat him a little bit differently because of that. So much he actually left the family because they would blame him for the bad instead of embracing that is what he's seeing. That's the reality type of thing. So he felt horrible and left the family.
Sort of left.
Yeah, sort of left.
He went behind the walls.
Yes.
But wanted to be around the family because he loved his family. But he knew he wanted his family to be happy. And he felt the only way that he could make them happy is if he wasn't in their lives.
Right.
And that's what's so sad.
Mm-hmm. And how beautiful, the little den he primarily stayed in was in the kitchen area, behind the kitchen area. And they have this beautiful family tree artistry there. And he's literally looking through the crack in the family tree onto the dinner table. So he's watching his family through that artwork. And I'm like, oh,
that symbolism right there.
My heart.
But it all ends good. All ends good. Mm-hmm. But just so we can talk a little bit about their superpowers. Mm-hmm. And then, or I don't want to call it superpowers, but they're gifts.
They're miracles, as Grandma calls them, as Alma calls them.
And then we have one more aunt, don't we? We have the storm aunt. We have the mom.
We have the mom.
Then we have Felix. That's right.
And he's married to Peppa.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And what's really fun is when they put this out, they really wanted to show the variety of people and skin tone within the Colombian culture.
Yeah.
So I loved how even the family was very diverse. Felix has darker skin than his wife and such. So you have this very wide variety of people within the family even. And Felix and Peppa, they have their own children. Dolores, the oldest girl, who is super, super hearing, which is funny.
How does she not? I love that she even admits that she's heard Bruno the whole time. Yeah. And I'm like, what?
It's like the last song. She's like, oh, I heard him the whole time.
At least they didn't leave that as a plot hole. But anyway.
And what's great is they're all kind of funny. Like, they all have their own little personalities. But she was just wonderful because she was a little bit of a gossiper.
Yeah.
A little bit of eavesdropper.
Yeah.
Camilo's her younger brother, who is a shapeshifter. He changes into all sorts of different people in the village and things like that. So that's kind of fun. And actually, the inciting incident. Yeah. In the story is the youngest one, Antonia.
Yeah.
He turns 8 and is getting his magical power, which is terrifying a bit for Mirabel and the family because Mirabel didn't get her power. She didn't get a power when she came of age.
And he's the next one. He's the after Mirabel. He gets it. So the whole family is on edge that he's not going to get it.
Oh, and you can tell even though he's 8, he felt that pressure on him. And you can see what a healing moment. There's one point in it where he's waiting to go up to open his door, and he's so nervous. And Mirabel, who is his cousin, he just loves so much. They're still in the nursery together, which is ridiculous in my opinion that she didn't get her own room. But he's I need you, and reaches his hand out to have her walk down the hallway with him to go to his door. And how beautiful is that?
And how she's even sitting in the shadows during this whole scene. The family that has in the city that has the gift are all there. But Mirabel is in the background because that's where she feels like
she is. That's where she feels like she is. And she's kind of put herself there too in some level, which, such a beautiful movie. So he gets the magic power talking to animals, which is fun throughout the film.
It had a lot of jokes in there.
A lot of good jokes there. And then Mirabelle is our hero. And, of course, she's the youngest of her family. And, you know, her oldest sister, Isabella, is the perfect one. She creates these beautiful flowers and blooms and is just wonderful and praised by all and graceful.
She's beautiful. And life is perfect for her.
Yeah, that's not me. and Louisa, who is the middle sister, and she is strong and powerful and takes on all this responsibility. And what's great is we were talking about beforehand, what's really fun about the variety of characters is there's someone everyone can identify with.
Yeah.
And you were saying you identified with Louisa as like the strong one.
Yeah, and as we get further into everything, like as we get further into the story, you learn that Louisa, even though she's strong, she's very proud of her gift and all these other things that she, even though she feels like she has to be strong emotionally too, that she can't show any signs of weakness or, you know, she'll be, you know.
And the worry
crushed.
That she's not enough still.
Yeah, that she's not going to be strong enough in the future and things like that. And, you know, I think for guys too, especially men,
right?
Like you'll be able, like I know she's a girl, but you'll be able to relate to her a lot too because you're born into this type of world where showing emotion, any kind of sad emotion, is, you know, negatively looked upon. So,
and it comes from the grandmother. She wants to protect the gift so much that it's so much pressure on them all.
Yeah, she's the grandma. You know, we're going to talk about the grandma. Let's just be real that the grandma, she's very much someone that puts the pressure on the family to use these powers. And when something goes wrong, she says, like, we're not going to talk about it.
Oh,
everyone, stay in the house. I'm going to go talk to the city. I'm going to take care of it type of thing.
I'm going to avoid this problem. It's not actually happening. La, 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 la.
And this is where the problem starts to happen is that because we notice that the grandma, you can tell she still loves Mirabelle, but she doesn't want her kind of in the forefront of the family. Mirabelle's not in pictures. She's not invited to go do things with the family.
It's like love there, but not acceptance there kind of feeling.
Yeah. So, but you see, the grandma putting pressure on Isabella, who is going to get married to like the most handsome man in the city. And she's like, this has to happen. He's handsome. His family is wonderful. You have to marry this person. And puts, you know, pressure on Louisa, you know. Because Louisa has to go do so many things.
She's literally holding a whole herd of donkeys on her and moving houses and
bridges
wow.
And things like that.
And how great is they gave that strength to a female character.
Yeah, and I'm so glad that, like we talked in the beginning, that Mirabelle's parents are very, like, supportive of Mirabelle and are like, you have a gift. It's just not like everyone else's gift. But, you know, as a human,
Being yourself is a gift.
Yeah, you hear that. You're like, thanks for that compliment, but I know what the reality of my life is.
It's hard when you're comparing yourself to other people around you, which is I'm so terrible at.
Oh, yeah. So you can relate to Mirabelle in so many ways.
Oh, so
you can relate to anyone, especially like Isabella, who has to be perfect. I'm sure there's so many people out there that feel like, you know, we live on such a social media life where we have to portray our lives as being perfect.
Oh, my gosh.
On social media. Where that's not true. I love like the analogy where you show just a little part of your counter that's not dirty. Show your like perfect plate of baked cookies. But if you expand it out, there's a whole mess.
Let's see the mess that created this.
Yeah. So, but yeah, it's, I love that you can relate to the siblings.
See, and I very much related to Mirabelle from the start. And, you know, I just wanted to reach out even during the first song and be like, no, you are special. Like, like the way she interacts with the kids in her village, she is awesome. The way she embroiders, like the plush doll and her outfits and things like that was just beautiful and artistic and creative. She's always there to support and help each other. She, like, I'm just like, girl, like, I can see your magic from the very start. I wish you saw your magic. And I think that is kind of what's really nice about it is as she progresses through the story, she's able to discover more about herself and feel more part of her family, even though she might not have the same miracle or blessing that they have, which was just beautiful and wonderful.
Yeah, I mean, Antonia reached out to her. He didn't reach out to anyone else when he was nervous.
Right, and she knew where he was, and Aunt knows.
Yeah. Aunts are the best.
What did you think of the actual journey she went on? Because, you know, someone pointed out this is the first basic Disney journey where, like, they never really left the house. Yeah, she goes down into the village a couple of times, but, like, the journey was within her home, which was very symbolic. Like, I loved that.
I didn't even, like, catch on to that. But that is interesting that, you know, because you have to understand, these rooms are not just, like, a normal bedroom. Like, you go into these rooms and there are different worlds. Mm-hmm. And they're worlds that are catered to your power. Mm-hmm. So Antonia has lots of animals in his room. And Isabella has lots of flowers in her room. Mm-hmm. And when she gets into Bruno's room.
Mm-hmm. Which has been locked up and all dark.
Yeah.
It's a desert. It's a desert and it's huge in this big chamber and time symbolism and stairs going on forever. Whew.
Yeah. It's interesting that it's all in her house. But, you know, she goes in to find out that she's part of a prophecy that Bruno foresaw. And to protect her, he never brought it up.
He broke it and he left because everyone had been interpreting his prophecies as always negative. It's like people would find the negative in the prophecies instead of, oh, there's going to be rain on my wedding day. Let's be careful and, you know, have umbrellas ready, you know?
Yeah.
They always interpreted his as negative. And prophecy happened the night that Mirabelle didn't get her powers.
Yeah.
So that's literally what she goes and she finds it. I loved the actual symbolism of having not a piece of glass, but like a stone tablet with it carved in it.
Yeah.
And how you're able to shift it back and forth. And when you see Mirabelle and the house is broken behind her, and you shift it the other way a bit, and behind her, the house is healed behind her.
And you're not sure which way the prophecy is going to go.
So I thought that symbolism was beautiful, how she was able to go in there and find that and bring it out and show it to her family. And then the family just ignores it. We're not going to talk about that. No.
I know.
We're going to talk about Bruno.
This is all about Isabella's, you know, proposal.
Yes.
Don't talk about it.
Yes.
And of course, Dolores overheard everything.
Of course she is.
And Mirabelle knows that Luisa knows something because we start to learn that Luisa feels like she's losing her strength.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what's putting the pressure on her.
Mm-hmm. Eye twitching. Yep.
Yep. You know something.
Oh, that song. So what was that song called? I got to find it on here. Presser. Surface pressure. Is that right?
Yeah, that must be it.
Yeah. So Surface Pressure. And that was like the first song that really stood out, more musical video to me in the film. And it was beautiful and powerful and strong. And like it was the first time Mirabelle got a deeper peek into beyond the facade of her family, of like the Instagram person that you as I cover the mic, the Instagram person that you kind of put a front to the world. She was able to dig deep and see really behind what her sister is actually feeling there, the pressure that she is feeling. It was beautiful. It's one of my favorite songs.
Yeah, and the fact that, you know, she was able to tell Mirabelle, which, you know, is a gift that Mirabelle should be able to recognize in herself, that her sister was able to tell her things. Like Isabella, even though she like bottled it up for a while, she's able to get that out.
She had that empathy.
Isabella,
yeah.
And so Isabella was able to tell her, like, I don't want to marry this person. Like, it's pressure on me to marry this guy, and I don't want to, where Dolores really wants to marry this.
Yeah, she wants to get to know him.
Yeah.
We find that out in the Bruno song.
But which is so true. I think that's another pressure that I just think is interesting.
Mm-hmm. And even the symbolic of strength pressure, like actually weighing down on you, and the pressure that Isabella had to be perfect and to create only beautiful things and to be only beautiful. Oh, and when she creates the cactus, was beautiful.
And it's so funny that's another like amazing part of that song is because Isabella's been so constricted and having to be perfect all the time, she didn't realize how much she could actually do until she admitted that she wanted a different life. And then, of course,
when the song's even named, what else
was like,
can I do?
Yeah. She's like, this is when it gets sketchy, is when Mirabelle confronts her grandma and tells her, you know what, you're putting too much pressure on Luisa and Isabella have told me these things. You're putting too much pressure on them. You need to back off. And that is where the climax of the movie happens.
Right. And it's literally like the family is falling apart under pressure and the house is falling apart under pressure. And these cracks that had kind of been ignored except for Mirabelle, who had actually seen them, are now really being seen by the rest of the family and starting to kind of fall apart. I just love the idea of that pressure being shown.
And the fact that Bruno is like behind the walls trying to fix up these cracks.
Right? Oh, yeah.
Because he's noticing that what's happening and he's not part of the family.
Mm-hmm.
So those cracks are happening because there is actually a whole song where they say that we don't talk about Uncle Bruno.
Mm-hmm.
And
how many families do we have that one person, that one topic, that one situation that we just don't talk about?
And they don't talk about him because he's not the perfect member of the family, which is just awful. So the house starts falling apart. The candle breaks. The house crumbles. And it's all blamed on Mirabelle.
Which just breaks my heart. She was the only one trying to do something about this.
Yeah.
The only one able, and not able, but willing to see that there was a problem and that danger was happening and not just ignoring it. And it falls apart.
The foundation of the house literally crumbles.
Crumbles.
And I'm glad that, because there's a part of you in the movie, because you're like, oh, it's a Disney movie. The house isn't going to fall. The family is going to get reunited and the house will never fall. But it does.
But it does.
It gets completely destroyed.
You ignore problems long enough, it's going to fall apart.
Yep.
Do you want to go ahead and take a break here? And when we come back, we can talk about the kind of conclusion of the film and go into the symbolism and how we felt about that.
Let's do it.
Let's do it. So we're back in the family, in Encanto, the Mirabelle family, not Mirabelle, the Madrigal family. Mirabelle's our lead, is in peril. The house has fallen apart. It's just so sad and heartbreaking. They're blaming her and, you know, she took off.
No one has powers anymore.
No one has powers anymore. Your gifts are gone. What are you going to do? And you think when your whole personality is based on that one attribute.
And the grandma's telling Mirabelle, our miracle is gone because of you.
And what she, you know, and I love that Mirabelle stands up to her grandmother at that point, you know, and it's kind of sad and heartbreaking because the intent wasn't what Mirabelle thought. Alma's intent wasn't what Mirabelle thought. And she's like, no, this is you. You're the one who is breaking apart the family. Oh, we are broken because of not because of me, but because of you. Oh, how do we move forward? They go back to where it starts. So yeah. Mirabelle takes off. And
she goes running. She's
running.
She feels like this was her fault. Why does she belong in this family now? So she takes off to a river.
And the family's searching for her. Searching for her.
And the city's searching for her because they recognize her gift and they recognize that she's wonderful.
And who finds her? But Abuela.
Yep.
And how ironic, but not ironic, very pointed symbolism. They're back to where it started at that river where the grandfather had passed away. So it's beautiful and it's emotional and they're able to talk once more, which is great. I think so many times we in our culture, we're told, well, just hang up on someone, just cut them out of your life. They're toxic. They knew that they're family and they came back together and they had a conversation by the river. And Mirabelle's able to learn more about Alma's story. Alma's loosens up enough to learn more about Mirabelle's story. And we get a flashback scene that tells a little bit more about Alma's life and losing of Pedro. And there's this beautiful song that plays, and it is called Dos Orejitas. I'm so sorry. I'm massacring your language.
I speak German, so don't ask me to pronounce anything.
I took 2 years of German, and I can't say anything. but I had to look it up because the song is totally in Spanish, and you get the flashback of you know, them meeting in this Colombian town, a little bit different, a little bit more city, and falling in love, having the kids, and then having to leave the comfort of their home with just each other and the kids and leading, like, a whole group that left before the father being killed. And the song is Dos Agoritas, which translates to two little caterpillars, which is beautiful. You see butterflies throughout the film. There's definitely symbolism in there. You see it in some of the future visions and things like that. You see it on the river. I looked up the symbolism of butterflies in Colombian culture. And first of all, do you know what is the world's has the world's largest variety of butterflies there?
I'm not surprised. If it's anything like the movie looks like, there should be a lot of butterflies.
A lot of beautiful, colorful butterflies. Yeah. But some of the symbolism of butterflies, you know, black or brown ones are like bad luck and it's very hard and scary. But yellow butterflies symbolize hope. And it's really the yellow you see a lot in the film.
Oh, yeah, you do.
Right? Yeah. It's the yellow one down by the river. It's the yellow one in that burst from the house and everything. So these two little caterpillars trying to find a home, they're able to just have this butterfly, this hope. They grew into something more hopeful, even though they were small and weak. And their family grew into something hopeful. The town grew into something hopeful. The house was literally something magical. And being able to come back together with that. And I loved that moment because it wasn't just, see, Grandma, you were wrong.
Yeah.
But it was,
I'm understanding why you put so much pressure on mm-hmm. us and all these other type of things.
Mm-hmm. And she just forgotten that the miracle wasn't the miracles. The miracle is your family. And you were talking a little bit about that earlier. Do you want to
oh,
go
gosh.
Into that?
Yeah. No, that's Ooh. The part that made me miss the ad because I was like, oh, okay, this is the thing. Because, yeah, when you're a parent, like, sometimes you get lost in, you know, like, ugh, like right now, you know, my son has to constantly be held. He just started walking, mm-hmm. so he doesn't understand that we can be like, you can transport yourself places now. So he constantly wants to be held. Like I probably got 4 hours of sleep last night because he was just crying all night because he mm-hmm. wanted to be held to sleep. But we're mm-hmm. trying to teach him that he needs to do some self-comfort there. Mm-hmm. But there's moments where you, as a parent, you also feel pressured because, you know, I'm just going to be open and honest open and honest about being a parent is that you do want your kids to be like the best. Mm-hmm. And you do, like, every time my little girl like excels in school, I'm like, yes. Like,
when, and you see gifts in them that they don't see.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. They definitely see that. And same with like our little boy. Like, there was a part of me that's like, oh, you didn't start walking till after you're a one. Like, you're supposed to be like this amazing little boy that walks at 8 months old. And mm-hmm. same with my little girl. She's very shy, but I'm always like, I wish she was more social. I mm-hmm. wish she was this way. And there's this always that part of you that wants to put pressure on your kids to excel, to, you know, it's not bad to put pressure on your kids to excel, but mm-hmm. sometimes there's unnecessary pressure. Mm-hmm. That's just not part of their, you know, data. Mm-hmm. inside them that is going to be everything that you want them to be, mm-hmm. that you just have to accept that there's going to be parts of them that you're not going to totally understand that you wish were different. But the whole symbolism of seeing them as a miracle, that's like the whole purpose mm-hmm. of being a parent, is recognizing that your kids are the miracle in your life. Like, you
as they are, as they are, and as they can become.
Yeah. You don't think about that a lot. You think about the day they're born. The day mm-hmm. they're born, like, oh my gosh, this is a miracle. But sometimes that gets kind of caught away.
It's every day.
Yeah.
Even, and as Alma showed, is even the magic got every day to her, you know?
Yeah.
And so her coming to realize, you know, it wasn't those miracle of the magic powers that were the blessing, the magic house that was the blessing, but it was the magic that she has a family and that was able to continue. And what I thought was so beautiful there is Disney didn't take that that moment to like, and then everything's restored.
Yeah.
They hugged.
Yeah.
Uncle Bruno came out, and the family hadn't seen Uncle Bruno by that point yet.
Yeah. He found them.
He found them. He came back. They embraced by the river. Yeah. They're able to go back to the crumpled foundation and torn apart house, and everyone rejoices. I'm going to cry.
But it wasn't rebuilt from their miracles, their gifts. It was built because of the city that they had helped.
And everyone embraces each other.
Like,
the brothers and the siblings and the cousins are all excited to see the uncle. They're excited to welcome back Mirabelle. And they start working, and here comes the townsfolk. And you literally think it's going to be like pitchforks, and they're going to be angry because the magic doesn't bless the town. They are ready to work. Those pitchforks, those hammers, they are ready to help build.
They don't have those magical gifts, but they have the gifts that they have. And mm-hmm. now that the family doesn't have gifts to focus on, mm-hmm. so like when they see Bruno, they don't see him for his gifts. They see him, that's my uncle, and I loved him mm-hmm. before all this happened, and I'm so happy to see him again.
And as the weird aunt, I love that. And so where the family had been the one blessing the village, now the village is the one blessing the family.
Yeah.
They're able to rebuild. They're able to work there. Those little annoying semi-narrator kids are back, which is one flaw.
I think they're fun to have in there because
they're the connecting.
It's nice to have kids that are just open and honest about questions like, Mirabelle, why don't you have a gift?
Why don't you have a power? I think your gift is being delusional. but they're able to come back together and build it. And when Mirabelle, so part of the ceremony of getting your blessing when you're 8 is when you go to your magic door and you touch the doorknob and it turns in this beautiful mural and it's like fairy dust and magic and, ooh, this is what your power is going to be. And she touches the doorknob of the newly built house And the magic comes back.
They give it to her, and her mm-hmm. She can see her reflection in the doorknob, mm-hmm. and then she puts it in.
And like, though she doesn't gain a magical power at that moment,
she's now a part of the family. She's mm-hmm. a part of the house because this is what she rescued. She rescued the foundation of love mm-hmm. in the house, in the
and
family.
It's rebuilt and brought together, and the candle's
You're
back, and the hope
cry,
is back.
Dang it!
I am literally tearing up in here. Chills, laughter. Tears.
But we were just talking about she's the one that put that foundation back mm-hmm. together.
And that love is a miracle. You know, I really, really enjoyed this film.
It was not what you're going to, well, now that we've told you, you're going to know what's going to be expected.
You've seen her.
But, but it's definitely a movie that you need it's a fun movie, but it's a better movie if you pay attention to the symbolism mm-hmm. within it and you find a character that you can put yourself into.
And if you let that magic grow, you know, and this might be a little controversial. I'm worried some people are going to be upset because it's a different culture, but it's, you know, released in English and things like that. And I really hope people can step back from what they are experiencing in life and be able to extend their vision to be able to embrace and learn about a different culture, a different family, and see the similarities across nations, across a diverse amount of people that are on this world, and be able to embrace this film. I just loved it. I really, as I was leaving, usually I have a hard time talking to the representatives from the studios.
Yeah, that want to hear your review on it.
Yes, because when you go to a screening, as soon as you leave, they're like, what'd you feel about it? Did you like it? Can you give us a statement?
Yeah.
Terrifies me every time. This time I'm like, I loved it. I really hope people get to see it and get incorporated into their holiday mindset this year of coming together as a family with your differences, being able to figure out who you are, to not have so many secrets, to embrace each other and to learn more about each other and not just I'm going to present my point of view, but see behind that a bit and like literally rebuild the foundation of the family.
Yeah.
Loved it.
That's the wonderful, I think Pixar and Disney does a great job mm-hmm. with all the recent movies that they've been doing. You've learned the Mexican culture. You have the Norwegian culture. You've had the Colombian culture. Mm-hmm. You've had, you know, you have Soul.
Polynesian culture. You have Soul, more Black America culture.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. But, you know, go see this, guys. Like, it even, you know, I don't have a lot of problems with my family, but mm-hmm. it's still something that it's a lesson you can learn in case these things happen mm-hmm. before these things happen. So you don't let those family members slip by that need to be loved, that need to be cared for within your family.
Definitely. And I love that little kids are going to enjoy this as well as the olders. Mm-hmm. And the music is vibrant. It's wonderful. I would say go see it as well. It might become one of my favorites. I might need to get a little Maribel figure to put on my desk, I think.
I want to go see it definitely a second time. You always go to the critic screenings going in as a critic, but I'd want to go in just being a...
Mm-hmm. I already got plans. I'm going to visit my sister out in Ohio, and I'm going to go see it with her. And I know we're going to cry, and we'll probably have a good conversation afterwards.
It's a good Disney crime. I don't think... When was the last time I cried in a Disney movie?
I cry at Disney commercials. What are you talking about?
I cry listening to Disney music in car. I cry listening to Christmas music on my hair. But I think Frozen 2 was the last Disney movie. No, Soul. Soul was probably the last Disney movie I cried in.
I wish that could have been out in the big theaters.
So many people haven't seen it. You should also watch Soul on Disney Plus, guys.
Go watch Soul.
That one also is very symbolic. And it's really for adults more than kids, but it's a really good movie.
So I think overall I'm going to give this an A. Encanto means both charm and charming, and that is exactly what this film was. It's a vibrant musical poised to bring families together for Thanksgiving. I love the story. I love the music. I love the characters' development and storyline. The infusion of Colombian culture and just most this family message of family togetherness, I really think this movie delivers. Now, I know you've actually written up your own review. Can you tell people where they can find that?
You can find my blog at popknowledge.blogspot.com. And I also have an Instagram page where I post most of my things. It's just under pop_knowledge.
Great. And I'm going to actually link in our show notes straight to your website and to that review so people can just go boop and find a little bit more about you.
Fantastic.
Anything else we want to cover today before we wrap this up?
No. Thank you for having me back. I love being in studio again. It's so nice.
It's fun. And she's been able to join me for a few screenings that we haven't been able to talk about. So this has been really fun having you here.
I'm excited for our future screenings this year.
Woo-hoo.
So I'll be back.
And thank you, audience. Thank you for listening to this episode of Fan Effect. That's an effect with an E. We're a KSL News Radio podcast beyond sci-fi, fantasy, gaming, and tech. We are excited to share with you our knowledge and arguments on everything pop culture and fandom. Based in the beautiful Beehive State, Fan Effect celebrates Utah's unique fan culture. And we are excited to bring you local guests that feel the same way. I'm your host today, Kellyanne Halverson. Sadly, Andy wasn't able to join us today. But I want you guys to go and listen regularly on your favorite platform at kslnewsradio.com, kslpodcast.com, or on the KSL News Radio app. If you have any fun ideas, local fan culture topics, groups, things like that, just let us know. We love celebrating our unique fan cultures here in groups. Follow us on Instagram at Fan Effect Show and Twitter at Fan Effect Show. I'm doing better actually posting on Twitter. And thanks again for listening. We hope to have you back real soon for another episode of Fan Effect.
I'm Dave Cawley, investigative journalist and host of the podcast Cold. In October of 1985, a woman named Cherie Warren left work at a busy Salt Lake City office
to meet her estranged husband at a downtown auto dealership.
She never made it home. Cherie's car surfaced weeks later in Las Vegas,
in the parking lot of a hotel casino.
No one knows how it got there.
Strange. It was strange.
Both Cherie's estranged husband and her boyfriend raised suspicion for investigators.
I kind of thought that he might have done something.
But no arrests were ever made. In Cold Season 3, we dig into double lives, make new connections in the case, and examine the difficulty raised by reasonable doubt.
We want answers just as much as anyone else.
They have creeps like that now, too, so nothing's changed.
That's the new Cold Season 3, The Search for Cherie. Now available anywhere you get your podcasts.